Blog Talk Radio.
Coming live from Pittsburgh.
Inside MLB fans, my name is Benson Fechter, and I will be your host tonight. It is Wednesday, May 11th, 2016. I apologize for not being on air on Monday, as I usually am. I had a baseball game to attend to and play in. So, a lot of baseball has gone down today. Some finals coming in. A lot of games being played right now. So, before we get into talking about Jake Arrieta and how he deserves ace money with no discounts, I will get into the games that have already went down today. We'll start off with the White Sox and the Rangers. The Rangers went on to win 6-5 to beat the Rangers. Barnett got the win for the Rangers for the loss. Jennings to the White Sox and Sam Dyson with the save. Orioles and the Twins. The Twins went 9-2, moved to 20-12. Twins fall to an ugly, worst team in the American League, 8-25. Wilson gets the win for the Orioles. Hughes gets a loss for the Twins. Cubs, Padres. Padres surprisingly beat the Cubs by a score of 7-4. Padres moving up to 14-20 now. Cubs are an astounding 25-7. Again, the win for the Padres. Carlos Villanueva getting a loss for the Cubs. Pedro Strop in the save for the Padres. Fernando Rodney. Games going on right now. We have the Diamondbacks and the Rockies. The Rockies are winning 7-4 to the Diamondbacks right now, going into the middle of the seventh. Rays and Mariners are in a deadlock, 4-4 in the bottom of the sixth. Giants are beating on the Blue Jays, 4-1 in the middle of the fifth inning. And the game that I really want to get to and just talk about here briefly is the Astros and the Indians game. That's a game that I got into when I got home from school today. And really, right now, nothing is going right for the Astros. Let's just take a look at the standings and see how they're doing right now. They're last place in the American League West at 13-21, 7.5 back of the Mariners. They're 6-4 in the last 10, which isn't bad, but considering that their season hasn't gone off to a good start, it's just not been going well. We head over to the wildcard stands, and the Astros, you see, they're the second worst team in the American League. They're 6.5 games behind the Rangers for that second wildcard spot. At 13-21. The only team worse than them in the American League is the Twins, who are an awful 8-25. They are the third worst team in Major League Baseball. Who would have ever thought that the Astros at this point of the year would be the third worst team in baseball? I definitely would have told you that you were wrong if you had told me that. But right now in the Indians Astros game, Cleveland, they got off to a good start. They went up 1-0 in the top of the third. And, I mean, for Houston, you'll probably think, here comes the story again. 2-0, you go to the fourth inning. But the Astros, they did rally back 2-1 bottom of the fourth. So that was good for them, you could say. How did the score happen, you may ask? In the top of the third, Jason Kipnis, he singled on a line drive to left field Cole B. Rasmus, bringing in Lonnie Chisnall. And then on the top of the fourth, Mike Napoli, who I absolutely love, talked about him on the Friday show, did a whole segment on him. He had a seventh home run of the year on a fly ball to left field, put him up 2-0. Then George Springer comes right back. Danny Salazar on the mound. He hits his seventh home run of the season to left center field. Bottom of the sixth, the Astros climb back even more. They tied up. Carlos Correa singled on a line drive to center field. Rajay Davis. Jose Altuve scored. George Springer in the third. Tommy Hunter was pitching at the time. They were not done. Later on in the inning, Preston Tucker singled on a line drive to left fielder Marlon Byrd. Luis Valbuena scores with Zach McAllister pitching. Astros up 3-2. You think, you know, things are going well for the Astros. Get to the top of the ninth. Carlos Santana. First triple of the season on a line drive to center field. Carlos Gomez. Mike Napoli scored. And Mike Napoli has been a big part of the game, if you haven't found out yet, with Luke Gregerson on the mound. That tied the game up at 3-3. And it is going on right now. Bottom of the 10th, Jose Altuve is on first with two outs. Cody Allard is pitching for the Cleveland Indians. And you have George Springer trying to be the hero. This is a 1-0 count, and maybe the Astros can get out of this with a win. That would be the best for them. And you have a 2-0 count right now on George Springer. So we'll just get into the Astros for a little bit and how they are here right now. And it's mostly been thanks to their pitching. Their pitching has been coming on of late. They've had 6 straight quality starts, which is why they're 6-4 in the last 10. Has a lot to do with it. Again, George Springer's up trying to drive in Jose Altuve in the bottom of the 10th after the Astros gave up a 3-2 lead in the 9th. But they did claw back down 2-0 to take the lead. So right now, George Springer, he is in a 2-1 count, trying to walk it off for the Astros, and we'll continue to give you updates. I'll give you updates during this at-bat, and if George Springer does not walk it off or something else happens, I will just continue the bottom of the 10th for you here on Inside MLB in a very exciting game, very exciting. So George Springer on a 2-1 count. Cody Allen comes over to the pickoff. Santana gloves it. Altuve is back in safely. We're still a 2-1 count. Bottom of the 10th here are Cleveland and Houston with 2 outs in the bottom of the 10th. Cody Allen on the mound. Cody Allen breathes deeply. Gets a little check on Jose Altuve. Cody Allen. Another pickoff move. That's 2 in a row. And a lot of fans, if you didn't know, they really don't like when they're on team attempt like for pickoff moves. It just doesn't bode well with the home crowd. And I know that's the case at PNC Park since they go to their games so frequently. So maybe Cody Allen check on Jose Altuve again or come home. Cody Allen is into his wind of the pitch. And that is a 3-1. It was a bit of a breaker, 3-1. Just missed high and outside a little bit. If that was into the strike zone just a little bit more, Jordan Springer probably could have taken that ball to right field and done something with it. But I think it might have been a good miss considering that it was a bit of a hanging ball. 3-1 count. We'll see what George Springer can do here for the Houston Astros. And that's a ball four, a high fastball up there. And Cody Allen, he doesn't pitch that fast. It's at 94 miles per hour on his fastball. It's decent speed for a reliever, but it's obviously not blowing anybody away. And the Astros, they are now looking for a good opportunity. First and second, 2 outs, bottom of the 10th. Tie game, 3-3, Cody Allen. Yan Gomes is coming out to have a word with his pitcher. Maybe try to calm him down because 2 straight guys getting on base with 2 outs. And just maybe Carlos Correa can get it done for the Astros. Carlos Correa, this series, has not been doing too well, though. He's only 2 for 12. This game, though, he does have one of the RBIs, as we talked about before. He had that on the single. So maybe, just maybe, he can possibly win the game for the Houston Astros here, bottom of the 10th. Altuve on second, Springer on first, Cody Allen on the mound with 2 outs. It'll be quite amazing, I think, if the Astros could, maybe pull this off. Here's a pitch. Down and outside, it's 1-0 on Carlos Correa. And just a little bit of a tidbit on Carlos Correa. A lot of people thought him to be the best, shortstop in the league this year, but actually Gene Segura is doing, I think, better than him. And just a little tidbit, Correa only has 1 career walk-off day. It's still his second year, so maybe you can get another walk-off pitch, hit right here on the Cody Allen pitch. Oh, that was a bad swing. Curveball in the dirt. Carlos Correa went chasing on a low and outside pitch. Yan Gomes with a good block, though, because if he didn't block it, that's second and third, 2 outs. I know it's not that big of a difference because your most Altuve is going to score on a single with 2 outs, but you never know. Wild pitch, second and third could possibly win the game. But that was a 1-1 count for Correa. Not much discipline on that Allen curveball. Could be because of his age, but we will see what happens on this 1-1 pitch. The Altuve is getting decently there at second, so I definitely think a single would win this game. We'll see if he can get a second career walk off it right here. The Cody Allen pitch. Oh, high and inside the Correa. He had to duck to get out of that one, and that was a 2-1 count. I personally think it should be a 3-0, and if it goes 3-0, Cody Allen would be in a real mess right now. You see a 2-1 count, which is a lot favorable. He doesn't have to throw a pitch right down the middle where, Correa could take a big hack at it. But instead, he is in a – Correa is still in a favorable count, but it's not as bad as 3-0. Let's see if Correa can possibly get a walk-off hit right here. Young Guns going to the sign, and here is the Kuden alley pitch to Carlos Correa. And he gets under to right field, carrying deep, and it is caught by the right fielder. Two outs. The Astros ran two, heading to the 11th inning in Houston. I'll continue to give you updates on that game. But during the break of the game, let's get into talking about Jake Arrieta and how he is saying he is worth ace money, no hometown discounts. So, if you know Jake Arrieta, you probably know he is the reigning Cy Young Award winner. He pitched absolutely amazing last year, and I think he is worth the ace money. His statement is correct. If he's pitching as well as he's pitching right now, which is phenomenal, and it feels like every start he goes out there and he just gets W. It's just the way it's going right now. And if you're the reigning Cy Young Award winner, you're obviously an ace. And I have no problem with him saying no hometown discounts, because if you're looking to get paid late in his career like he is looking to get paid, then why would you give the Cubs a hometown discount? I know he wants – I mean, a lot of players want to win, but really, what matters more to a player? It's all based on their mindset, I think, money and winning. I think it's a perfect balance of the two. If the Cubs – obviously, they're not willing to pony up as right now. It's probably a really low-ball offer is my guess. That's what he's saying, no hometown discounts. So maybe the Cubs in the UFC might want to pony up, re-sign Arrieta, but if not, he will be gone, I think, with some ace money because he is deserving of that. He hinted today that he is worth more than the $175 million given to Steven Strasburg. That deal, it sort of surprised me because Scott Boras, he is usually known for taking guys to free agency, getting the big bucks, but if you can get the big bucks, you know, with the Nationals, that's what Scott Boras was willing to do. Strasburg, he was going to be the best pitcher on the market. And the Yankees, I mean, they were talking about possibly, you know, getting him. Now, that is out of the picture since he re-signed by the Nationals. And I, at this point, think he is worth more than Steven Strasburg. The hint was correct, and it is definitely a valid statement. So the Astros and Astros in the Indians game is back on, and we are going to you know, I'll try my announcing skills a little bit and try to give you a live looking per se. End of the Astros Indians game, Ken Giles comes in the pitch, and Mike Napoli, the big guy in this game for the Indians, he comes up to bat, and he is definitely a threat at the plate to go yard, as he already showed in this game. He's 2-for-4 in the game, solo, home run, and a double and two runs. He is definitely a big force at the bat right here, and we will see what he can do. And he rips another single, first pitch, right in the left field. And again, if you're an Astros fan, does the Ken Giles trade make sense to you? I don't think it did. I think they wanted to get the closer, but Luke Gregerson is still the closer, and Luke Gregerson can't get the save for you even. So Mike Napoli right now in first, top of the 11th, no outs. Ken Giles pitching, and the catcher whips off the plate a little bit as Carlos Santana, who hit the big triple, RBI triple in the ninth, as he was only 1-for-10 in this year, is coming in. Let's see if he can possibly give his team another big knock here and possibly give them a lead. We'll see what happens. Ken Giles comes set, and I think Ken Giles, he has a sort of a sneaky fast delivery in my mind. It is really sneaky fast, and it's sort of surprising because it's only at 94 miles per hour, but you know, when it's in the dirt like it just was in 1-0 count, it can definitely sneak up on the catcher. 1-0 count from Giles, pitch to Santana, and another low pitch, 2-0. Looks like he's trying to go low and outside. Maybe it's to set him up for something high and in per se. But I don't think they'll be doing that with Santana, so you probably don't want to challenge him, but they do want to give him a strike, because if you don't give him a strike here, then might not be looking too good for the Astros. A 2-0 pitch coming from Ken Giles right here. And that is skied. Does Valbuena have room? And yes, he does. One out here in the top of the 11th after a high fly ball to Luis Valbuena over at third base. He moves over to make the catch. And we have one out in the top of the 11th now. And it was a pretty good pitch. He went back to that low pitch. It wasn't as outside, nearly as low in the strike zone. That's exactly what they wanted Carlos Santana to do. Pop it up, 10 gouts with a perfect pitch right there. And if you're an Astros fan, that's what you want to see your guy that you spent so much prospects money on for. So good job there from Ken Giles. And Marlon Byrd, it feels like he's been everywhere. He is up to bat right now for the Indians. I think it's a good signing. Let's see if he can drive in the other good signing there at first base. He takes on a – oh, nope. He takes on a pretty good curveball from Ken Giles. That's probably what you want to see from him too. Get that fastball, working low with the knees, getting guys popping up, chasing out that curveball. If he can do that, he can be effective. But if he can't do that, then he obviously can't. Giles checks on Nadler first, who is not getting a big lead at all. So it'll probably take a big gap to bring him in. Marlon Byrd swings through a low and outside pitch. It's now 1-1. And that Giles pitch right there was the absolutely perfect example of what the Astros need to see from him. Getting swings and misses on the low fastballs. And then we'll see if he can come back with maybe a curveball here and get Byrd swinging. Because if he gets his curveball, he will be a good pitcher. And he jammed Byrd there with a pretty good-looking curveball. Had some tight, quick movement. I'd like to pitch. Nice jam. And if he didn't make contact with it, it would probably be did put that in play, it would be maybe a double play. Probably would have been hit too softly. But Ken Giles, perfect pitcher, now set up for the strikeout. I'm thinking he goes to a maybe bounce a curveball here or throw that low and outside fastball. And he left the fastball up a little bit. The catcher, he did not want it that high. Byrd fouled it off. He just missed. I think if Byrd would have, barreled that up, he could be seeing a 4-3 game. So mistaken location there for Giles. You see a 1-2 count, one out, and the top of the 11th. Napoli at first base for the Indians. Trying to take the lead here. Ken Giles on the mound. Here's some 1-2 coming. And Marlon Byrd rolls over it, but it is a foul ball. It's a nice curveball. That's pitch exactly that you need to throw. I think he should maybe go back to that pitch right here because he's been going fast, slow, fast, slow. It's time to mix it up a little bit, go straight to the curveball, and you'll definitely be playing games with Marlon Byrd if you can do that. If you can do that with a good veteran like this who's been around for a while, then maybe Ken Giles might not be so bad of a trade after all. Here's the pitch. A good curveball in the dirt. I think it was just a little bit too low. If he could have started it maybe a little bit up towards the knees, Kratz might have been able to do something with it there. But no even intent to swing there from Marlon Byrd. I think he knew what was coming. Double up, and maybe he'll go. Maybe that was a setup pitch. Maybe he'll go for a high fastball here. See where Eric Kratz sets up. Looks like he's going for a low fastball. And left that up a little bit. That was actually pretty fast, 97 miles per hour. That's exactly what you like out of him. But if he just puts that a little bit lower, I think he is having trouble. The reason why he's having trouble this year is because he isn't commanding the fastball, and he's not getting as much chases on curveballs as he likes. So he has to bring that up. That was on the corner of the outside, but if he just had that a little bit lower, I think he would have gotten a swing and a miss out of Marlon Byrd. We'll see what he chooses to throw here on 2-2. Maybe he'll double up or go back to the curveball. 2-2 coming from Ken Giles, top of the 11th. And another, that's really a mistaken location. It was more inside than the last pitch, and a little bit more up, actually. So he is definitely not spotting that fastball at all this inning, and he is having trouble trying to put away Marlon Byrd. He needs to stop going to that fastballs up, because if he continues to do that, Marlon Byrd is an experienced veteran that eventually he will be able to get a hold of that one. And he goes to the curveball again. That was actually the worst curveball I think of this at bat. It bounced pretty much on home plate. No chance for Byrd to swing. He really needs to put him away because it would be mentally deflating after if you lost him in this at bat. Again, you need to, I think, perfect pitch right here would either be 9-foot curveball or a fastball low and outside. Let's see what he goes with. And he decides to go to a nice fastball. It was a little bit too high for Byrd to get on top of it. If he did make contact, I think it would have been a maybe pop it to the catcher, to the pitcher. But beautiful sequence there from Ken Giles. A wonderful at-bat from Marlon Byrd. If you're going to rattle Ken Giles, the best way would have been there to either get a single or a walk. But beautiful job out of the young man out there, because sometimes you get into a battle like that with a player, and it's hard to get out of it. Hard to be the winning one. Veteran versus rookie. Rookie prevails. We'll see what can happen in this next at-bat. And that's a nice, quick, easy pop-up to Kobe Rasmus in right field, and it turns into a quick inning for Ken Giles on the mound, top of the 11th. And the Indians and Astros are taking a break, and we'll take a break with them. Come back to talk about the Indians and Astros and bottom of the 11th. Maybe they can finally walk it off. Right here, broadcasting live, giving you a live look into the Indians Astros game. We're going to the bottom of the 11th now. Let me give you a quick game summary. It all started with the Carlos Springer home run. My bad. It was an absolute moonshot that forced this game to go to 2-1. Then Carlos Correa, nice line drive in the middle, tied this game up at 2-2. Jose Altuve came in to score. Then you get a nice base hit. Makes it a 3-2 ball game. Luis Valbuena comes in to score. So that's all good news there. That hit came from Preston Tucker. Then, that's how we are right now. From the Astros scoring, it is a 3-3 game. Bottom of the 11th. Kobe Rasmus, 0-for-4 so far in this game. He did does have a walk, but he's not doing well in the series. Only 2-for-12. We'll see. Maybe against Cody Allen, if he can be the hero for the Houston Astros. And one of the quirks about Kobe Rasmus is he doesn't use that large of a bat. A little bit surprising, but it's true. Cody Allen delivers a high and outside pitch to Rasmus. It's now 1-0. And Allen had a pretty quick inning, only on 9 pitches he sent down. Now he is coming in for the bottom of the 11th. The 1-0 coming from Allen, and that is low and inside. 2-0 count on Rasmus now, and this is a perfect count for him. If he can get a pitch he likes, possibly drive it either out of the park or into the gap, be absolutely perfect. And the Astros fans, they're hoping for that right now. They saw their team blow a 3-2 lead in the ninth, and they did not want to see their Astros lose. And he pops it up out of play. If he would have put that in play, would not have been good, and I'm pretty sure the Astros fans would not have liked it too much either, since it would have been a fairly easy first out. Now, 2-1 count. This is probably the exact thing that Allen wanted. The best possible case scenario with that would stay in play for Allen, but it didn't. And now he's in a better position at 2-1, a lot better than 3-0, or maybe a runner on first. Allen almost gets Rasmus to change the curveball in the dirt. They actually go over to the appeal, but it does not work out. And now Rasmus is in a perfect place. 3-1. I would give him the green light here, but he has to be very selective. He does not want to get out on this pitch. It's not only Cody Allen to beat him at a 3-1 count. And we'll see what Rasmus elects him to do. I think, unless it's perfect, do not swing. And he does swing. And it was a pretty good pitch. He just fouled it back. Just missed a little bit on that. I don't think it would have gone out of the park. I might not have even split the gap. I don't think that was the pitch he should have been looking at. I don't think it would have been ball 4. But At least you may contact now to full count, and we'll see who wins the battle. Rasmus or Alan? Pitch calling from Alan on a full count. He is into his windup, and here's the pitch. Rasmus has a tough time taking, but he does. Run our first. No outs. Bottom of the 11th. And will this be the inning? This game ends. Will this be the inning? Maybe we can get into talking a little bit more about Arrieta. We'll have to speed through all that, won't we? But I think it's pretty cool for you guys. I've never actually done this. Done a live looking, but maybe Marlon Gonzalez can get another double like he did in the third and end this game. He's 2-for-9 in the series. Not that bad. Only 2-for-1 of the year. 2-41 on the year. 1-for-5 in the game. Hopefully going 2-for-6. Maybe another double. End this game right here for the Houston Astros. We'll see what happens. Well, Rasmus isn't that speedy. He's not getting that big lead. A little bit of a two-step over there. We'll see what Cody Young can do mound for the Houston Astros. Long Gonzalez is squaring the bunt, and Young goes. Looks like he's up firing at first, but nothing going on there. I think that'll probably be a pretty good idea to get a second base. But you got to get the bunt down, Marlon, because third baseman now sees their plan, and he is ready to knock it down. We'll see what Marlon Gonzalez can do here. And a little fun fact, Marlon Gonzalez's last sacrifice bunt was September 2015, so it's been a long time. We'll see if he can put one down here. He's definitely not used to it, and he does. Good job, Marwin. Little go at 3-4. Colby Rasmus moves up to second. Good job from Marlon Gonzalez. He is not used to sacrifice bunting. Gets the job done, and it's a perfect opportunity now. Mayo on second, one out, bottom of the 11th, and he just did his job there. Santana came in, threw it to Kipnis at first. Nice and easy, proper defensemanship from the Indians. Beautiful bunt from Marlon Gonzalez. Good baseball all around right there. And we'll see who prevails in this inning. The Astros or the Indians. If the Indians prevail, they'll go to the 12th. If the Astros prevail, they will finally have something go right for them. Luis Valbuena comes up trying to be the hero, trying to be the one that ends this game. Valbuena is 1-for-3 with the single, 2 walks, and runs scored. He's been playing pretty well this series. He's a hot bat, 4-for-10. On the season, he's only 2-for-7, but he has figured out these Indians pitchers so far. Maybe he can figure out Cody out. That was a nice pitch hit, a hanging slider, it looked like, right at the letters, right down the middle. He just did not want to swim. I think it was a case of I'm not swimming before the pitch, and he just decided to do that. But if he took a half of that, that might have been out of here. 5-3, Astros swim. Maybe he can make up for that right here, because that was a beautiful pitch to hit. Almost wanted a high and tight fastball. He looked like he really wanted to, but he did not go. 1-1 now. I think a person could be over right now, but a better situation for Valbuena than it was a pitch ago. That's all you have to be worrying about for him. Get a ball into the grass. Not the infield grass, the outfield grass. 1-1 from Allen. And he just misses a curveball. Another good pitch hit. He just missed. It was a little bit early. Just waits a little bit back on that. Keeps his weight back. Boom, that's out of there. But it's not working out. It's a 1-2 count. Definitely working out for Cody Allen right now. We'll see what he decides to come to Luis Valbuena on him, because it's not Luis Valbuena's batter, not Valbuena dictating this at bat. Cody Allen is dictating this right now. Even though I think this game should be over. 1-1. And a 4-3. Luis Valbuena obliges to Cody Allen, and now Colby Rasmus moves up to third. 2 outs. Bomb the 11th. Who will be the hero? Who will be the one that breaks the Astros out of their season-long troubles? Could be Carlos Gomez. Could be the one that came up from the Brewers and trying to get them to the playoffs. But I think it'll be a pretty good story. The guy that they brought over for this very reason, for him to be here this season. He is 1-for-4 on the game, a single, a stolen base, and a sack or face hit. So we will see what Carlos Gomez can do. Comes out to talk with Cody Allen, because you know Gomez is going to be swinging for the fences here. I mean, I remember him in Milwaukee, he'd be on his knees every at bat, his helmet be falling off. Carlos Gomez trying to stay calm, cool, and collected. The fans are dancing. They want it to end here. Everybody wants it to end here, including probably myself and you, so we can get into some real topics here. We'll see what Carlos Gomez can do. Ball on the 11th. He's into that threatening batting stance. Cody Allen into his. The OO. And, oh, but Gomez looking like he's trying to put down a bunt. I don't – oh, it might have been a sacrifice bunt, but doubling as he squeezed. Pretty interesting strategy right there. I personally would not have done it. I would have thought he'd be swinging away his power bat, but I think Ramirez was not looking for that. So if you would have put that down, it might have been the end of the ballgame. Maybe he can drive one out of 1-0. 2-0. Oh, what a block by Yan Gomes. If that got past him, Rasmus would have been in. Beautiful block. It was a curveball that just kept breaking. It looked like it might have squeezed past him, but that was just a straight pick and very impressive, to say the least. Jose Altuve looking on, same with Marlon Gonzalez. They want to be running out after this pitch, and they are obliging to Carlos Gomez and are intentionally walking. I bet he is infuriated about this. Eric Kratz coming up, and I bet you know Eric Kratz. She's like, what are you doing? I can hit too. Maybe Eric Kratz can get it done for the Astros. Can he be the hero? This is his first at bat of the game. Came in to replace Max Stassi. But I've never really seen Eric Kratz hit before, so maybe it is his time. It is his time to get something done for the Astros. Pretty good story if it does happen. I'd like to see it happen. And he's 1-for-23 on the season. Francisco Lurion of the Pirates. He has better numbers than that, so hey. It's like you're facing a pitch right now. Maybe Eric Kratz can be the hero, the unsung hero. And that was a nice pitch hit, a breaking ball. Carlos Gomez takes second on the pitch. And now second and third, two outs. Eric Kratz up. Could he be the unlikely hero? Could he be the guy who didn't expect to get it done but get it second hit of the year? It's a possibility. Is it likely? I don't know. Your decision. Yan Gomes, he comes out again to the mound to talk to his pitcher. I do not know why. He, I think, just got to his favorable opponent, just got a strike on him, and Carlos Gomez is now in second. So, I mean, all is good for Cody Allen, but maybe Eric Kratz can take advantage of maybe the paranoia he is feeling. Jose Altuve staring at the ground, hoping for a walk-off from Eric Kratz. The 0-1, we will see what he does. He's looking like he's bunting. Oh, maybe if it was a suicide, then Rasmus would have been killed after. Yan Gomes almost came out of fire. 1-1 count now. Altuve with a little bit of a smile, wishing he could have gotten that down. Maybe send his home crowd happy and get them onto their next road trip happy after the strong Doug Fister starts. See Eric Kratz can do right here. He went 1-2. It looked like he went in the first base. Umpire did confirm that. It is now 1-2. Tough situation right here for Eric Kratz. And I would not be surprised if he obliged and we would be off to a 12th inning. I would not be surprised if we'd be giving you the 12th inning right here, right after this, on inside MLB 1-2. He obliges. It's drop third strike. Rasmus coming home. Kratz does not beat it to first. Clutch play there by Yan Gomes. Solid inning by Cody Allen. And we are headed to a 12th. Indians and Astros. Indians and Astros taking a break. And this item will be a beautiful place. We'll be back with the talking live from Studio 42. background kind of on being. If you're hoping for me to talk about some baseball, you're getting a lot of baseball. Beautiful. Top of the 12th here, extra frames in Houston. Tie ball game 3-3 in the Indians. After coming back, and the Nats are trying to take the lead here. We'll flash you back a little bit onto May 11th, 2000, when Sammy Sosa went a yard. Wow, that was a shot. No, that was not Sammy Sosa. It looked like him, but it was not. Wow, that was killer. Wow, wow, wow. That's definitely to say the least. Tony Sipp now on the mound for the Astros, looking to push it to a tie game in the bottom of the 12th. And who is up right now for the Indians? Trying to spot him out. Tony Sipp so far this season, pitched 15 games. He's 0-2 with a 4.26 ERA. Not that good with a 1.26 whip. He's definitely better against righties, a 200 average compared to a 286 against lefties, even though he is lefty himself. Lonnie Chisenhall, I believe he scored one of the runs in this game. He is up right now in the series. He relatively hot, 3-for-10. So maybe he can get the rally started. 2-0 right now on him. We'll see this. This could be interesting. We'll see what Lonnie can do here for the Indians. And we are slowly but surely running out of time. We still have 23 minutes in the episode. But these innings, you know how long some of them can take. 2-1 count now on Lonnie Chisenhall at 91 miles per hour from Tony Sipp. So he doesn't have the speed. And maybe the Astros can extend this game, get it to the bottom of the 12th, tie game, and maybe, just maybe, they can win it. Maybe. Chisenhall, oh, a big cut and a big miss. That was a nice pitch. I think that was a breaker from Tony Sipp. And I think Chisenhall thought that was a fastball, and he swung right through it. Ended up on his knee, and if I was Sipp, I'd be smiling inside. He's not showing any emotion right now, trying to get Lonnie Chisenhall. The 2-2 coming from Sipp. Oh, that was a breaking ball that just simply did not break, and I don't think he spotted the right release point. Not on point there. It started at his head and finished at his head. Just missed that noggin, and you do not want to be seeing that out of Tony Sipp. Warming up for the Indians right now, you have Dan Otero. I think he pitched for the Pirates one time. But Tony Sipp, let's see, full count, 2-1, Chisenhall or Sipp, the 3-2 count. And Chisenhall fouls that one off into the third base side. So maybe Sipp tried to fool him there, but did not fool anybody. And we will see what can happen right here. Be very, very interesting. Full count. Tony Sipp pitching. Lonnie Chisenhall batting. And Eric Kraft doing the catching. 3-2 home. And Chisenhall, oh, what a stop by Valbuena. He gets up, throws, and he is out. What a play by Luis Valbuena. The shift was on. He had to go into the shortstop spot. He made a diving on his knees, came up firing, and barely got Chisenhall at first base. This was a absolutely wonderful play, and I don't think Correa could have made a jump throw any better than that. Marlon Gonzalez with a nice stretch, and Chisenhall is out by a half a step or maybe a full step. That was a very close play, and we see on replay that he was out just by a half a step. Wonderful play by Luis Valbuena. Trying to get a jolt into his team. Ramirez up. And he is now. First pitch swing in. Nice. Oh, Rasmussen coming in. And he has to hustle a little bit, but gets the out pretty fairly easily. Two outs on 8 pitches for Sipp. And a perfect start to the 11th. 12 out for the Houston Astros. So he was coming up next for them right now. So, I mean, if you're Tony Sipp right now, perfect start. You haven't had that good of a season so far. Get that ear a little bit down, and you will be good, my buddy. Who is up now for the Indians? Could they maybe have some magic to out lightning? It's a possibility, and we'll see what happens right here. Sipp on the mound. First pitch of the at-bat coming in, and that is taken for a ball a little bit high, a little bit outside. Up for the Indians right now, Rajay Davis. He's 0-5, strikeout in the 10th. And maybe trying to get off the schneid a little bit here, batting 231 in the season. We'll see. 1-0 coming from Sipp. Roger Davis up to bat. And that is a curveball in the dirt. Probably went about 54 feet. 2-0 now to Roger Davis and Sipp after a nice start. Is not looking to fall behind anybody, not looking to walk anybody. He pretty much right now, mindset, Do not walk anybody. Get out of this inning. I mean, that's a Monteverde pitcher, but we'll see what he can do on this 2-0 to Davis. And that is a nice pitch right there on the knees, on the outside part of the plate. Beautiful pitch by Sip. And if you're Davis right now, you're not going to go swing at that because it's a pitch you're usually going to roll over on. So, beautiful location. And that was just all-around good baseball over there from Sip and Davis. Time called by the home plate umpire. I did not know why. The catcher wasn't standing up. The batter wasn't stepping out. And Sip will go again in the stretch. He gets his sign. Sip set into his delivery. And it is a ball. Low, 3-1. If he just would have brought that a little bit up, that probably would have been the perfect pitch. We talked about the perfect pitch so much. And honestly, that would have been the perfect pitch. Just bring that a little bit up, and you are golden, Tony. Maybe you can get out of this a little bit. Tony Sip, and that won't be in play for Kratz. No, it just gets out another full count. We went to a full count in the first at-bat of the 12th. We'll see if we can go to another full count here in this live-looking broadcast sort of thing that we're doing on Inside MLB right now. So let's see what Tony Sip can do. Will he get out of it? Full count. Oh, we're talking out of anything. Will he have a solid inning? Maybe going for a second at 13 pitches right now. Maybe he can have a nice, easy 14 pitch inning. Or will Davis get on base? Here's a pitch. And Davis, he obliges. And that is a nice little pop of the clock career. We go to the bottom of the 12th. 3-3. Astros looking for the win. They have not won on a walk-off this year. Impressive plays by Colby Rasmussen. And making the catch. We will see you in the bottom of the 12th. And hey, it is now time to get back into the Steven Strasburg talk and how he was given $175 million. And again, I think Jake Arrieta is worth more than that. He's giving no hometown discount to the Cubs. Strasburg, if you remember, he signed a 7-year extension yesterday. And the funny part about Strasburg is he's never had a sub-3 ERA over a full season of starts. Now, I say full season of starts because he's been hurt a lot, but it's just so funny how a guy getting paid $175 million now, so hyped up and everything, and how he is getting paid that much money over that long of a time period. But right now, you do have to keep in mind, he's 5-0 with a 2.76 year right now. So the Nationals are thinking for the future. They want the pitching staff. You get guys like Scherzer in that rotation with Strasburg, and then you add in guys like Tanner Roark, Joe Ross. It's a pretty nice rotation. But Arrieta right now, his ERA, it's been on the decline, like going downward. So on the uprising for Arrieta, had a 3.66 ERA in 2013, a 2.53 ERA in 2014, a 1.77 ERA in 2015, and a 1.13 right now, 6-0. So he's obviously pitching better than Strasburg. So, I mean, if you just take a look at the numbers, you're thinking, yeah, he is worth more than Strasburg. But Strasburg is a little bit younger. That's why people are not willing to pony up an area. That's why the Cubs, they're not willing to go that extra mile with them. And it's smart from the Cubs' perspective, but Arrieta is just baffled by it. Also, the Astros, we are back on it. And maybe the Astros can get a rally going and end this game here in the bottom 12. They've had opportunities, but they have not been able to cash in 8 hits on the game so far. 12 for the Indians, 3-3, bottom of the 12th. And we are arcing. Continue our live looking here. We have 15 minutes left on the show. So if they can end it, then we will try to get speeding through the topics planned. If they don't, then they don't. So we will see what can go on. And there can always be a miracle. Always, always, always. So maybe it can happen right here. Right now, with Dan Otero on the mound, he's pitched 9 games this year, no decisions. 10-3, he hasn't even had a hold this year, so going for his first hold with a 1.74 ERA and a 0.87 whip. So if you go by the numbers, he is not going to allow anything here this inning. So maybe Dan Otero can get his first hold of the year. Preston Tucker up, and he takes a ball down and outside, and let's see how Preston Tucker's been doing this game. 1-for-3 with an RBI single in the 7th. Not too on the season, though. Only batting 200. See at number 20. Left fielder Preston Tucker can do right here on the 1-0 from Dan Otero. He takes the ball low and inside. So just pretty much switch part of the plates. And Anderson, he is warming up for the Indians in the pen. Just in case Dan Otero can't get it done. Well, you know, Anderson could come in to pitch the 13th, if there is a 13th. Chris Tucker, he takes a wild swing of that, but that was a good pitch changeup from Dan Otero. Good pitch. He bounced it off to the third base side. Good pitch from Otero. Tucker obliged, and I think he wanted to be swinging that 2-0. Probably thought he'd be getting something better. I think he personally said, hey, I'm swinging at this pitch no matter what. So here it comes. Let's see what comes from here. Dan Otero, 2-1. And he pops it out. Maybe a Baltimore trap play, but nope. 4-3. Preston Tucker is retired. One out here in the bottom of the 12th. Let's check out the Astros' upcoming schedule. They'll be going on a four-game series to Boston over the weekend. And they go to the best team in the American League, second-best team in baseball, with the White Sox. They come home and play the Rangers and the Orioles. And at the end of the month, they go out to Anaheim to face the Angels. That's the Astros' upcoming schedule. Pretty interesting. Four-game series. It usually doesn't happen Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But it does in this case. Altuve trying to spark another rally. He did get on base in the bottom of the ninth for the Astros. And I believe George Springer was the one that couldn't get it done. We'll see if Jose Altuve can get it done. He's 2-for-4 with a double, single, essentially walked, regularly walked, and he scored a run. He's playing amazing this season. Let's see if it can continue. It's an amazing season. And now it's 0-2. But you know, this guy, he shortens up on his pitches. He's a 200-hit guy, and he finds a way if he's 0-2. You know, to get on base. He challenges guys. He fights in at bats. I usually don't see him go down easy. He's definitely not good going down easy right now. And on deck right now, Springer, he is 1-for-2 on the game. At least he's been walked a lot then. So we'll see if Altuve can end it right here. And he goes to his shortstop partner, Francisco Lindor, 6-3. Lindor to Santana. Let's see if Springer can get another home run on the day and win it right here because. We are getting down to the dwee time of our show. So we will see what is going on. George Springer coming up to bat. We will see if he can do it, if he can be the one. If, you know, it's in spring, Springer's up. Can the gigantic man get a gigantic shot? Be interesting to see. Here's Springer. A nice pitch from Dan Otero. I believe if you drop a pitch, Dan Otero pitched a perfect one there. Wow, that is a lot of walks. Chris Brent, 4 walks in the day. Maybe he'll go for the 5th right here. 1-1 right now. He is 3 away from walking for the 5th time this game. I'm not going to say that it's impressive. The solo home run, that's impressive. Hit, that was a moonshot. Maybe he can get another moonshot right here in this game and the 12th and send everybody home happy onto their road trip with the Sox of the American League. Springer sends it deep. Oh, and that just did not carry. Fly out to the right fielder. We are ahead to the 13th. And with that, we will take a break too. After the break, we will give you the 13th and maybe try to finish the game. But it is not looking good for you if you want to figure out what's going on in Indians Astros. After the show, just follow along probably on the MLB.com at that app. We'll be back on the Sound MLB. MLB giving the 13th inning of the Astros and the Indians game and I am sorry, but I do not think we can finish the game for you. So, if we don't have really time to get through our topics, I'll give you a rundown of the news that we're going to be talking about, and maybe if somebody can win it while I'm doing it, then that'll be that. So we'll get back to the Cubs and the Arrieta. Right now, Arrieta is having a .92 ERA over his past 27 starts. He is making $10.7 million. With 1 year left on arbitration, he will be eligible for free agency after the 2017 season. The Cubs have won his past 20 regular season starts and a sort of familiar contract that the Cubs are trying to sign him to. Anthony Rizzo, he signed a 7-year, $41 million deal in 2013, several years before free agency became an thought to Anthony Rizzo's mind. I think that Arrieta will get something along the lines of the other prices, 7-year, $217 million deal, or Max Scherzer's 7-year, $210 million deal. And the name saying, do you have a base runner on right now? Top of 13th kept the singled on no outs. I'll keep you updated with that. One of the interesting things, though, before both of them got their $200 million plus deals, they both want to sign. So if Arrieta wants to sign, that can mean good things for him before he leaves. Theo Epstein doesn't really want to talk about it to the public, but Arrieta, he said he's open to resigning, but he says it's not likely at this point. So that's all we have for the Arrieta talk. Let's talk about all the stitches that Chicago's Todd Frazier received after the foul ball flop. He left the game at Texas today after reaching into the seats and fell while trying to catch a foul ball. He suffered a laceration to his lower lip, that required 5 stitches. Right now, he's listed as day-to-day. He suffered this by going after Prince Hero's pop-up when he reached out while getting close to the short brick wall, separating the field from the first row seats. He caught the ball originally, until obviously he hit hard into the seating area. No fans were injured on the play, and Frazier immediately covered his face with his glove, then went to the White Sox clubhouse and left the game. The good thing for him, though, is it happened in the fourth, but in the original part of the fourth, he hit his 10th RBI of the series, so that's pretty good for him. Carlos Sanchez took cover at third base after he left. So that's it for Todd Frazier. Recent report came out today that the MLB is investigating the Red Sox's international deals, and they are under investigation for possibly circumventing the rules on signing international players. The investigations are on 2015 signings of multiple Venezuelan outfielders and reports looking into package deals in which several players from the same trainer was signed by Boston. Package deals, in case you did not know, are not outlawed by Major League Baseball, but this could be allowing them to get around international bonus pools, as a team can overpay a player exempt from bonus pools to get a bonus player for less money. They passed the allowed amount for international bonuses in 2014, so therefore they were not permitted to pay anybody more than $300,000. In 2015, though, they signed outfielder Albert Diamano and Simon Muzibiti, both from Venezuela, and they were both ranked in the top 30 international players. And somehow they were both signed for $300,000 each. Major League Baseball is questioning those players right now, who are both under 18. Red Sox currently are the only team under investigation by Major League Baseball. And our last thing of the day before we wrap up the show, I'm talking about the Tigers, how they recalled left-handed pitcher from AAA Toledo. They sent down Tyler Collins. Right now, Norris is 23 years old, is regarded as one of Detroit's top pitching prospects. He was actually among the finalists for the fifth star spot in the spring training. He had a back injury, so Shane Green took over. Since Norris came back from his back injury, he's really been struggling in Toledo. The Tigers said they plan to use him out of the bullpen. After yesterday's 5-4 win over the Nationals, Ausmus said nothing about the matter. His arrival, Norris's, that being, could be a continuation of Yon Arms coming to Detroit. Michael Ballmer, he's already the team's number one pitching prospect, and he is replacing Shane Green, who has a finger injury right now. Ballmer last night picked up a W in his third start yesterday, giving up 3 runs on 7 hits and 5 innings pitched. That boy could be coming soon as well. So a lot of young guns coming for the Tigers, and that's good news if you are a Tigers fan. Last topic of the day, we're going to talk about how the Braves deal Julius Chacin to the Angels for a minor leaguer. They traded him for left-hand pitcher Adam McCreary. Chacin right now, he is 1-2 with a 5.4 ERA and 5 games started. He had been scheduled to start tonight versus the Phillies, so the Braves, after they traded him, They said, hey, we're going to call up Williams Perez to make the start from AAA Gwinnett. Who did the Angels give up from? They gave up 23-year-old Adam McCreary, who pitched the past 2 years for rookie-level Tempe in Arizona. He is currently in extended spring training. He'll probably go to extended spring training for Atlanta, is my best guess. He's a pretty tall dude. He's 6'8", and he's supposed to say 3.52 ERA and 31 appearances all in relief the past 2 seasons for the rookie-level team. The 20-year-old Trussian, he's in his first season with Atlanta, didn't last so long, it's only May 11th, and he signed with the team as a minor league free agent after spending 6 seasons with Colorado and 1 with Arizona. So, wow, pretty good show. We got through everything we wanted to get through today. Talked about the Astros, talked about the Indians, and that game that's going on right now. And I believe the Astros are bringing on a new pitcher, Pat Neshek, with 1 out in the top of the 13th. So if you want to check out that game, MLB.com app for that. And a full slate of baseball tonight. Exciting to be with you today. I'll be back Friday, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. And we will not be, most likely not giving you a live look unless there's some good game that I might want to use my announcing skills for. But until then, my name is Benson Fetcher. Have a wonderful Wednesday evening. And I will see you on Friday. Have a